join me, if you would, please, once again in the book of Daniel. Put a bookmark there. We're going to be there quite a bit throughout the next couple of months, so might be a good place to be able to find rather quickly. We're going to be continuing in Daniel chapter 1 today, verses 8 through 21, continuing in the theme of Daniel 1. Faithfulness, God's sovereignty, His faithfulness to His Word, His control over all things, working all things together for His glory and His purposes and plans for the good, ultimately, of His people. I'll start reading in verse 8 and read through the end of the chapter, and we'll dive in this morning. Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you. And deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter, and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. What a story, a true story. What an account of God's goodness and faithfulness to his people as they choose faithfulness in him. Let's pray and ask God's continued blessing upon his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words which we've heard this morning. This reminder of a very favorite and easy to remember story from your word, an account of the lives of your faithful servants. Lord, I pray that you would direct our hearts and minds to be in tune with your spirit and what he wants to teach us today about these words. Who were these men like? What were they doing and why? What was going on, Father, and what can we learn about that today for us? I pray that as we hear these words today, we would be challenged and encouraged to continue to choose faithfulness. Faithfulness to you and your word, trusting that you are good. Guide me now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As believers, we choose faithfulness to Christ, trusting him to remain faithful to his word. He has said throughout the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah, that my word will go forth and it will accomplish everything that I intend for it to accomplish. That's my paraphrase of that verse. God's word has a purpose. God always has a plan. God always has a purpose. And he is showing his plan, his purpose, his control over all things, his sovereignty throughout the book of Daniel. And we especially see that here in this first chapter. Earlier this morning, we were reminded of the situation of many Christians throughout the world. They're losing their loved ones. They're losing their jobs, their homes, their church buildings. Electricity is cut off from villages that have Christian churches. All because they claim the name of Christ. Whether it's in Nigeria, Iran, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, Afghanistan, even in many Western countries today, the name of Christ is under attack, and those who follow Christ are under attack. Yet through all of that, many Christians choose to remain faithful to Christ, knowing that they will endure pain and suffering. They choose to remain faithful because they know that God is faithful. They know that He has always been faithful and that in Christ there is nothing that can separate us from Him. Nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, from the eternal life that we have been given. And so they continue to gather, even in burned out shelled buildings. Burned out, you know, just like there's nothing left, not even the ceiling is left. Just broken down walls with scars of flames. They continue to spread the gospel and they continue to make disciples. And while our situation, again, as we were reminded this morning, is not as desperate as theirs, we too face a similar threat, a threat that's trying to water down what it means to be a believer in this nation. Striving to take away the rights of teenagers to speak out and say, I believe in Jesus in my school, and I'm going to express that faith. It happens. On college campuses, in our workplaces, it happens. People are trying to say, keep Jesus to yourself, or else. Here in Daniel chapter 1, we see that these young Jewish boys are facing kind of a similar situation. They're in exile, they're in captivity, not because necessarily of persecution, but because of judgment. God is judging the nation of Judah. You will be kicked out of the land because you have forsaken the covenant. You have forsaken me. And so I'm going to kick you out. I'm not going to give you this land anymore, at least not for a while. And so they find themselves in Babylon and in a nation, a kingdom, which is trying to turn them from good, faithful Jewish boys into good Babylonian boys, who will do the king's bidding. So we're going to see yet again this morning how God wins over all of this. God is always victorious. In every chapter, there's a conflict and there's a victory, and it is God who grants and gets the victory. And so He again is going to show His four servants who have chosen to remain faithful to Him in a foreign land that seeking His faithfulness, seeking to remain faithful to Him will bring victory, even as Babylon seeks to remake them in the image of Babylon. So this morning, beginning first in verse 8, as believers, we determine to be faithful to Christ, resisting the easier path. Daniel and friends are given a choice, and they choose, they are resolved to take the harder road. Chapter 1 began with a description of how and why Daniel and friends ended up in Babylon, and they are expected to become Babylonian, to leave their Jewishness, their Jewish worldview, their faith, their religion, their practices, all of that behind. We're going to reshape you and remake you in the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. What it means to be Babylonian. Verse 8 shows us that Daniel, and verse 12 gives us a good indication that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were also with him in this determination, this resolution. We will not. We will ask because we will not eat the king's food. They are resolved. They have set their hearts and minds. And while I don't think that they are trying to be stubborn like a wee little one who doesn't want to eat the broccoli on his plate, that's exactly what they're doing. I will not eat this. We are not going to partake of the food of the king's table. They are resolved, they are determined, they are not going to give in. They are committed to one course of action, and that is to maintaining faithfulness to their God. Daniel and friends are living out what they have been taught. I can only imagine how difficult it must have been for Jewish boys to be taken to the other side of the desert, to Babylon, to Shinar, to that one land which is known throughout biblical history. You go back into Genesis, it's the land of rebellion against God. Where was the Tower of Babel? It was in Babylon. Where was Nimrod? Where did he begin this first empire, this first Babylonian empire? It was in Babylon. They've been taken to Babylon, a place of rebellion, and they're rebelling against the rebellious ones. They are not going to give in. In this fashion, regarding defilement, they are standing firm. They are going to find some way to remain faithful to God. They're determined to be undefiled. Daniel and friends are putting their proverbial foot down, or maybe perhaps we could say it's their forks. We're not eating this. Not from the king's table. The word defile here means to pollute, to stain, to make impure. It's like when you go out to the barn to take care of the chores, you're going to come out of that barn impure. There's going to be stuff on you that you didn't walk in with. They are determined to remain morally and ceremonially pure as much as they possibly can. What is it that would make them defiled? What is it that they're not afraid of, but what is it they are standing against? And there is truth here, I think, in the fact that the food offered by the king from his table is ritually unclean for these Jewish boys. It's against Jewish law. It's against the law of Moses to eat them, because all of the food of Babylon would have been offered to the idols, and what was ever left would be gone to the king, be given to the king, and that would be given to these captives to eat. What Daniel and friends are doing is two very important things. They're choosing to be faithful in a way that is available to them. You can't make me eat this food. I don't think they've got an attitude of, well, yeah, just go ahead and try it. But they're saying no. And secondly, more importantly, they're declaring that their devotion is not to the king of Babylon. He is not going to get the credit for whatever we might become. God is. We are his men. We are not the king's men. They're making a choice to show that it is God who will get the credit for anything good that might happen to them, not Nebuchadnezzar. Look at how often in just these few verses here, 8 through 21, the king's food comes up. Whose food is it? It's the king's food, Nebuchadnezzar's food, the king of rebellion. So, no, we're going to rebel against rebellion. Daniel and friends are stating that their food, by their food choices, that they're going to be fully devoted to God and not Nebuchadnezzar. They might have to serve him. You might give us a job to do, and we're going to do it because we're going to serve God and not man. And serving you, we're serving the Lord. But in this case, we're choosing not to defile. We are choosing not to rebel against God. We're going to depend upon him and not the king. I think that for them to depend upon the king's food would have been doing just what Hezekiah had done just a couple hundred years earlier. Remember, King Hezekiah had been sick, and he got miraculously healed by the Lord, and the king of Babylon at that time heard about it, and so he sent a delegation with gifts and all this other kind of stuff, and Daniel sees an opportunity. Hey, the Assyrians are on my northern border. They want to conquer my country. They've already tried to do so. God, you know, he saved the day, but what if they come again? Maybe if I make friends with Babylon, they'll go after Assyria. Well, they do, but God was like, you should not have tried to make friends with the Babylonians. Daniel and friends are not making friends with the Babylonians. They're not going to repeat Hezekiah's sin. They might be forced against their will to serve, but ultimately they're serving God and they're standing true to who God has called them to be. They're resolved to make it known who they really belong to. I think in Daniel and friends, Daniel especially, though, we see a picture of what Jesus is going to be like. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He was born of a Jewish woman. He was royalty of the line of David. And he came to serve his heavenly Father. He came to serve sinners. He chose faithfulness to God when Satan said, I'll give you everything you could ever want. Just serve me. I'll give you a way to take the easier path and not go to the cross. Get all the kingdoms of the world. Just don't die on the cross. Somehow Satan must have known something up, maybe not entirely sure exactly what was going to happen and why, but he knew he had to keep Jesus from going to that cross. But Jesus came, he was resolute about being obedient unto death. I will not disobey. I will not give credit to anyone or anything other than my heavenly Father. And Jesus receives for that all the glory. He would not let anyone or anything, including his disciples, hinder his ministry of the cross. He was resolved to be faithful and true. Daniel and friends are resolved to be faithful and true, fully obedient to the Father, Jesus was, so that we could be redeemed by faith in him. He is our perfect sacrifice. No defilement at all in any way, shape, or form. We can count on him to see us through into eternal life. For us this morning, determine to be faithfully devoted to Christ. And it seems like, yeah, that's an easy application. Daniel and friends, though, they didn't just decide on the way to Babylon, you know what, we've really got to stick together. We've really got to, and I'm sure that they did, you know, if they had that opportunity, but you don't make a choice like Daniel and friends made in the thick of things. You make that choice in the thick of things because you've made that choice 1,000 times beforehand. It's like the military and police officers and firefighters and EMS people, they practice everything that they can possibly think of, because when they get into the moment, they have to be able to just act without thinking, because thinking could cost them precious time. These young men, I believe, were raised and they followed their teachings to be faithful to God no matter what. Maybe some of the few, but they were brought to Babylon for a reason, because God is going to work in and through them to bring about his plans and to begin to show that his kingdom rules over all. They were doing what they had always done. Remained faithful to God in the little things, so that when the big things came, they were used to doing that, and they just did it. Determined, even in their dire situation, that God was still real, God was still good, God is still faithful, and they were still his people. And no matter what may come, they were going to be better off following him and remaining faithful to him. Small, seemingly insignificant, important choices to not be defiled would grow to help them to stand strong and firm when the time came. Are we willing to be determined to be faithfully devoted to Christ in the very little things? What we think of, anything that you happen to do throughout your day, even in the seemingly insignificant, does it really matter? Yes, it matters, because every time we choose to not be faithful in a little thing, that makes it easier to not be faithful in a big thing. Every time we choose to not turn away or to turn off the TV or the computer or don't go to that website or whatever it might be, every time we choose not to do that and follow sinfulness, we make it easier to follow sinfulness in the future. And every time we say no to sin, we make it easier to follow Christ in the future. How are we using our time? What are we looking at? How are we using the things that we have that God has given us for his glory? Who are we allowing to speak into our hearts and lives? Are we following truth when they speak truth? If a sensible, God-following believer were to take a look and examine our lives, what would they determine we are, or who we are devoted to? What Daniel and friends do here in these verses throughout the book of Daniel is demonstrate what it means to take up your cross and follow Christ, which is what all disciples of Christ are called to do. What are we going to die to so that we can live for Christ? Determining to be faithful, choosing faithfulness also means, I think in this case too, fearing God more than we fear man in the world. What we love is what we will choose to do. And even when we choose to sin, we're choosing something that we want. We choose to lust after something. We choose to love something that maybe we're not supposed to love. We choose to love Christ, and so we obey him. We follow what we love. What is it that we love more? Are we loving Christ more? Are we growing in Christ? Are we growing in our understanding and his faithfulness of who he is and what he wants for us? Are we determined to be faithful and to chase after him? Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare. It's easy to fall into, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Daniel and friends are showing, I'm going to trust in the Lord, knowing that I will ultimately be safe. They're resolved to not be defiled, to not be totally devoted to or dependent upon the king as much as they possibly can. And so this leads them to be respectfully striving for faithfulness. respectfully striving for faithfulness. Look at this in verse 8 at the second half. Therefore, he asked. Daniel asked. He didn't throw a hissy fit. He didn't lie on the ground and start pounding his fist on the ground, or didn't start beating people up, give me what I want or else. He asked. He didn't say, hey, do you know who I am? I'm of the royalty of the line of Judah, the line of David. You will do. No. He didn't claim any of that. He just went to the chief eunuch and said, can we not defile ourselves in this way? And that's just audacious, isn't it? I mean, come on. What captive should ever expect their captors to grant their requests? How many times does that actually happen? But they receive favor from the Lord. Chief eunuch and the steward are going to show favor and compassion to these young men. Their faithfulness to the Lord is going to be seen here. Daniel goes to the chief, Aspenaz. He says, no, I fear my king too much. If something goes wrong with this, it's my neck on the line. And that's all he says. Daniel, of course, takes the hint. He didn't say that I couldn't keep asking, that I couldn't ask somebody else. So he goes down the line of the chain of command. And the steward is like, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's do that. The steward is given a really good deal by Daniel. Test us for 10 days and do what you think is best. We'll submit to you. Just test us for 10 days and we'll submit to whatever you think is best. So it gives the guy an opportunity to say, nope, not going to happen. But it also gives him an opportunity to say, hey, I got a chance here to maybe, you know, get a promotion or something. If these guys end up being really good, then, you know, then, hey, I found another way to do the job. That's well. Maybe I'll be looked on with favor. And so this test involves eating only the food that grows from the ground. Vegetables, fruits, grains, bread. Food that can be demonstrated, it can be argued, is coming directly from God and not necessarily from the king's table. I would suggest that the king's table is full of meats, which a lot of us would be like, yeah, give me the meats. Don't give me that bread and vegetables. What are you talking about? It's the best meat. And what do you sacrifice to idols? You sacrifice meats and stuff like that, and all of those things. And yes, it's possible that even the vegetables were offered too, but at least in this way, they're making a distinction. We're going to follow God. We want to follow his ways. We don't want to eat that meat that is offered to idols. And also, this test is again about their appearance. Babylonians want their wise men to look like they spent too much time in front of the TV, eating too many donuts. And so the test is offered, the test is approved, and the test shows that God is at work. He is in control. Daniel and friends are being faithful, and the chief eunuch is like, I don't know about that, but they keep asking, and somebody's like, yeah, I think we can try this. They submit to the fact that the steward is in charge. You will do whatever you decide. And they will be treated well because God is working in their favor. We know the story. It's like the story of Joseph. God was with Joseph, and even though Joseph went through a couple of hard trials, God was with him and promoted him through that whole thing to get him into a place exactly where God wanted him to be as the man that he wanted him to be. So if God has been faithful so far, Daniel and friends are counting on God to be faithful again. And so we too can respond to tests of faith with respect, resourcefulness, and reliance upon God. I've noticed throughout the reading the news the past couple of months as the school year has started that there's been several high schoolers who can drive that have been assigned parking spaces, and they are allowed by their schools to decorate, paint those parking spaces to express whatever they would like to express. And some of them have been Christians who have wanted to display Bible verses or draw a scene from a Bible story. One girl in Colorado wanted to make her parking space look like the story of the Good Shepherd. And then 1 Corinthians 13:4, I think, was also placed there too. And the school didn't like that. They were like, you got to take that out. You can't do that. That's violating our policies, and it's violating separation of church and state and all that stuff. We're going to get in trouble. You can't do that. Well, she stood her ground. She said, no, I can do this. This is an unjust rule. Other schools in your district allow this to happen. Why are you keeping me from being able to exercise my rights? And some lawyers got involved, and they proved and showed that, yes, this is something that she can do. Your policy is wrong. She stood her ground. She was respectful, as far as I'm aware, according to the news sources. She was resourceful, and she relied upon God. Whatever was going to happen, she would have to abide by it, of course. But just like these men resolved to express their faith in Christ, and even when challenged, were looking for ways to continue to remain faithful to Christ. Faithful resolve of Daniel and friends to not be defiled by the king's food led to their being obedient to God rather than men, while not being a nuisance. I gotta say, it drives me crazy when Christians, especially online and in person, can be a nuisance, thinking that they deserve something. And they're going to throw a fit about it until somebody does something about it. And instead of being resourceful and respectful, throw a fit and become obnoxious and give people a reason to put down Christ and the gospel. Being resolved to faithfulness provides opportunities to show that faith is not just about rituals, it's also about how we treat others. Love one another, especially those who disagree with us or have authority over us. Because that goes a long ways to showing God's character. Like Daniel, we can respectfully introduce alternatives that showcase God's kingdom, God's ways, and help others to see more of who God is and what he's like. So Daniel and friends, they've been resolved to not be defiled, to not be totally devoted to the king as much as they can. And they respectfully and faithfully seek. And when we as believers determine to be faithful to Christ, we also trust Christ to remain faithful to his word. God has told his people throughout his word, I will be with you. What did the psalmist say? Wherever I go, the mountaintops or down to the deepest part of the sea, you are there, you are with me. God has said, if you will seek me and find, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Daniel and friends are relying on the promises of God. Look at verses 15 through the end of the chapter. It was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Reliance upon God's faithfulness leads to his blessings. They were allowed to eat their vegetables and their breads, which I like bread. I like cinnamon rolls too. And they were found to be better in appearance. Now, I don't know exactly what that all meant, but apparently it looked good to the Babylonians. And so this steward is like, hey, I got a win here. This is great. Daniel and friends got a win here. Their faithfulness is rewarded to God. But it's not just in their appearance. It's also, as we look at verses 15 and 16 and 17, it's about an alternative lifestyle. They chose to live a life that would honor God. We will be devoted to God only. And they were allowed to do that, especially when it showed that, hey, this isn't going to hurt me. The steward was thinking that anyway. They're allowed to keep some of their Jewish identity. They were supposed to be stripped down of everything that was Jewish about them and become totally Babylonian. Well, we can act like Babylonians, but we're Jewish men, and we're going to act like it. They're allowed to keep some of their identity. And in the first years of the exile and the captivity, the kingdom of God is beginning to reign and have victory. The whole book of Daniel is about God's sovereignty. I am king, and how he's going to ultimately bring in his kingdom through his Messiah. And Daniel's going to be given visions of all of that and how that's going to come down. We're going to talk about all that stuff in a couple of months. But we have this introduction to that right here. God's kingdom rules over all. We see in verses 17 through 20 that God blessed their studies. Not only look better and fitter, like the Babylonians want, but God is graciously allowing them to become the best students, the valedictorians of Babylon University. They learned what they needed to learn. They mastered the curriculum. You know, it's not just that they, you know, got plugged into some port somewhere and you know, God just downloaded all the information out of all the ancient Babylonian libraries so that they had it at their fingertips. No, God gave them grace as they continued to be faithful to him in a pagan land. This is what we got to do. This is where God has us. So, all right, let's do this. And God granted them favor as they continued to be faithful to him. They developed the skills, the discernments, the perceptions that the curriculum was meant to give. They understood what it meant to be Babylonian, but didn't become Babylonian. They knew how to think, how to understand the world like native Babylonians did. Don't forget, though, that these guys didn't just get it. They had to work hard at it. Yes, it was God's grace, but it was also their being faithful to God. Nebuchadnezzar says that they were so good that they were better than not just their fellow exiles, but also the other native-born and well-trained magicians and enchanters in the kingdom. We might say today that they were better than their teachers. They were the best of the best. And so they earned his respect, Nebuchadnezzar's respect. And they're placed in key positions within the empire so that they can speak truth to the king, God's word to the king. And they're going to do that a lot. Sometimes it's going to get them into some trouble, get a little fire going in some situations. But they're going to remain faithful to God. And the king of Babylon is going to start to acknowledge the God of the Jews. In verse 17 here, we also see that Daniel is given an extra gift. We see Daniel becoming a prophet of God. He is going to learn and understand visions and dreams. And this is partly how God communicated to his prophets throughout the Old Testament. Not the only way, but it's some of the ways. And he's going to be able to interpret dreams that aren't even his, just like Joseph did way back when. God is going to work through and use Daniel in a mighty way. And so he prepares him, he gives him this gift to be able to communicate God's truth for his people, the Jewish people, and even for the Babylonians. And so we have here a divinely inspired book filled with the messages that God is going to give to Daniel. Daniel and friends, they're blessed physically, they're blessed in their studies, but also we're going to see too that God blesses Daniel's ministry, verse 21. Daniel is going to be in Babylon for just about 67 to 70 years, well into the reign of King Cyrus of Persia. Daniel is going to serve all the kings of Babylon in his lifetime, and the first king, at least, of the Persian Empire. What faithfulness, what grace, what compassion, what mercy from God to bring Daniel there, to put him in exactly the right place to be able to influence human history that we are still kind of a part of today and are still looking for its full fulfillments yet to come. Living lives of selfishness and sin will not lead to God's blessings. God blesses through our reliance upon him. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to get all the money in the world, or we're going to have all the food we could ever want, or the biggest house, or anything like that. Blessing doesn't mean getting everything we could ever want. But it does mean getting everything that God wants for us wherever he has us. God placed Daniel and friends in Babylon to minister to him and to his people and to the Babylonian Empire for a time. And he gave them exactly what they needed to do that faithfully to him. Same thing to you and I. Whatever work you're in, whether it's a stay-at-home mom, God is going to give you exactly what you need, the grace, the strength, the wisdom to raise those kids, your kids, to know God and to love God. Dads, husbands, fathers, he's going to give us what we need in our jobs to remain faithful to him as we earn and protect and provide for our families as well. Whatever job you have, you are there because God wants you there. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. Be faithful to what God is calling you to do, to be an example, to be faithful to him. Daniel will not get to see the temple rebuilt. Daniel will not get to go back to Judah. Daniel's going to be stuck in Babylon. But that's exactly where God wanted him to be, and it's there that God blessed him, and it's there that the blessings of God come to God's people as well. God grants us what is necessary to serve him faithfully. Chapter 1 began with God giving Judah over to Babylon. Daniel and friends taken from their homeland to live and serve in a foreign kingdom. Totally, totally brand new place. Totally pagan, totally defiled. Just walking the land of Babylon, the streets of Babylon, into the palace is defiling. But God is going to use those trials and disasters, the difficult times, to raise up faithful, obedient servants who are resolved to not be defiled. We are not going to be dependent upon the king. We're not going to be dependent upon Babylon. We're going to serve God faithfully. If that means we've got to serve Babylon in a certain way, then we will do that as long as we do not defile our relationship with God. They trusted in God, who promised that, yeah, there's going to be times of trials. And we too have been promised by our Savior. You're going to go through times of trials and tribulations, but I am with you. He never does anything to us. He does everything for us, even though we might not always think that for us is always for us. You know what I mean? This doesn't feel very good, God. I don't like this. But yet he's using it to make us exactly who he wants us to be. So will we trust that God is able to keep us through overwhelming situations? Will we trust that God can help us to kick sinful habits? Will we trust that God can help us to have victory when it doesn't look like victory is possible? We're exactly where he wants us to be. What are we to do? To trust and obey, to do our part, to learn and to grow, to be faithful, and then to choose faithfulness, knowing that he is always faithful to his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we are so thankful for these words in Daniel chapter 1. The resolve, the determination of Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah, Father, these men whom you just plucked up from their home to a place that they did not want to be, nor ever wanted to visit. But yet, Father, you put them there for a reason, to show what it looks like to be faithful in a pagan land, to show that you are God still, that you are with your people, even when we are in difficult, trying situations. You can be trusted. You are good. You are loving. You are kind and merciful and gracious. Father, each of us is facing trials. Each of us is facing tribulations. Each of us is struggling in some way, shape, or form. We're struggling to be faithful. We're not perfect at it, and we're thankful for your grace and your mercy. Help us to remember that you are forgiving, that you are gracious, and that you are always faithful. Your arms are always open. Your throne room of grace is always open for us to come before you, to confess, to seek your mercy and grace, to continue moving forward in faithfulness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. We thank you for your Spirit and your word. Help us to be faithful to you until your calling. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.